you had Pasuk Vav.
So I'll be honest with you. This is one of those fun parshios where you wonder a lot about what's going on over here.
We all know Lot was saved from the burning sulfur and ashes and everything that was going on in Sodom at the time. And Lot's wife ran with Lot outside of the city. And it says, she turned behind him. We don't know who him is, but she turned behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. So we're going to have a lot of questions to deal with this. What's going on with everything? But let's understand it. Pasuk Yizayin. The Malach tells Lot that he should not turn around and look at the destruction of the city or delay it all when they're running away. That's what the Pasuk says. Do not turn around, says the Malach to Lot. Rashi says it's because they should have been destroyed with the rest of the city of Sodom. Everybody should have been destroyed there, but they were saved in the skut of Avram Avinu. And therefore they weren't worthy of seeing the punishments that were happening to the people of Sodom. That's the pshat, the pashut pshat behind that Rashi. The Rashbam says he should not look to see what's happening to his other children that were left in the city. He left two daughters in the city and possibly sons. We don't know, but at least two daughters in the city. He shouldn't delay by looking all back at them. So it's not that he doesn't deserve to see the punishment of the Sodomim, but he shouldn't look to see what's going on. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says the Shechina had descended. The Shechina was there in Sodom, destroying the city of Sodom. They weren't worthy of seeing such a thing. It's possible they weren't worthy of seeing the Malach that was destroying Sodom. That's the idea behind it. Now, the Ibn Ezra says this warning was not only to Lot, but also to his kids and his wife as well. Even though they're not mentioned specifically, it's referring to them as well. The Ramban says it's not even true, because it was really just a warning. Don't turn back or else you're going to die. It wasn't like a lav. It wasn't like he was telling him not to do it. It's just automatically it's going to be there. And that's the idea. All the Rishonim seem to say the same basic idea regarding that. Yaakov Ruvedi brings a crazy shot. You know that all of your sins are written on your forehead? If you look at pictures of the Mikubalim from around the turn of the century, like real pictures, when they first started doing photographs, you're going to see that all of the pictures, except for the Ben Ishchai, because the Ben Ishchai was a man, and he was perfectly fine with anybody looking at him because he had no sins at all. Every Mikubal has their hands like this on top of their forehead when they take the picture. They have it right over their forehead. Rabbi Yehuda Pitayo, if you look in a Pitayo, he was the Talmud of the Ben Ishchai. You'll see their pictures. They have their hands on top of their foreheads. So that you can't see the chatoim of that tzaddik when you look at their foreheads. There is a chachma to this. I do not know it, and thank God I don't know it. The idea is that you look at a person's forehead, you can see everything. Everything the person has done, everything the person has done wrong. You have everything inside there. Says the Al-Kurvani, that's why they couldn't turn around. If they turned around, the Malachim would see the sins on the forehead of Lot and his daughters and his wife. And when the wife of Lot turned around and the sins were showing on her forehead, immediately they killed her. That's what ended up happening, says the Yaakov Ruvedi. But I will say that the Yaakov Ruvedi was quoting a sefer, the Emek HaMelech, which is possibly a forgery. So I'm not so sure that's an actual pshat. So I will tell you, it's a great pshat, I just don't know if it's real or not. The Torah Shlema says an opinion brought down by a measure that whatever happened to Sodom was highly contagious, like a snake bite. We'll understand this in a second. And they would become infected with whatever it was that was killing the people in Sodom itself. The air was filled with sickness and rot and destruction, which damages a person who would just look at it. So if they would turn around and look at the destruction that was happening in Sodom, they would be killed along with them, because just looking at it would be destructive. The Ramban brings this as well. See, this is a crazy thing. The Ramban has a famous piece about rabid dogs. When a rabid dog bites a person, the worst thing that the person can do is see the dog. Because every time he thinks of dogs or looks at the dog, it'll cause him to become worse and worse and worse until he dies. That's what the Ramban says. Ramban says the exact same thing applied over here. All this craziness in the air, if they looked at it, it would make them think that they're sick, and they'll psychologically die from what's going on over here. That's the shot. When she turned around and looked at Sodom, she killed herself. She made herself into a huge thing of sulfur. She destroyed herself in and of itself. Okay, so what's the name of the wife of Lot? So the first name that we're going to go with is Iris. It's brought by the Ramban over here, that her name was Iris, which is really Iris. The word Iris, the name Iris, comes from this. Where does the Ramban get it from? So Ramban gets it from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The funny thing is that the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer doesn't actually say that word. The Bala Turin says, Ishto, the wife of Lot, is the same gematria as he, Iris. that she is Iris. It's off by one, but the Bala Turin brings it as well. But the Tur on the Torah, the same Bala Turin, when he writes his Sefer on the Torah, says that her name was Edith, which is either Edith, that's where the name Edith comes from, or Isis, which could be Isis.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with that. Right? One of those things. So we got Iris so far. Iris, Edith, or Isis. In Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, it says Idis, but the Radal says she became an aid for everyone, a mound and a testament for everyone to see what was going to happen. That's the idea behind it. The Mekubalim prefer the name Iris. That's possibly why the Bala Turim chose that. The Alka Ruveni also brings down that her name was Melach. Her name was actually Salt. And that's part of the reason why she became a Netziv Melach. She became the Netziv of Melach. That's what ended up happening from this. But again, so if we're going to call her from now on, we're going to be calling her Iris to get that name down and to make sure that we remember that name. Targum Yonasan says, what happened was when Iris ran out of the field, she looked behind the Malach, who was pushing them forward, getting them out of the city of Sodom. She looked behind to see what was going on in her father's house. She was a woman who had grown up in the city of Sodom, and since she had grown up there, she wanted to see what was going on in that area. Because she had sinned through salt, says the Yonas Menuziel, by not giving poor people salt, food with proper spices, she became a pillar of salt. That's what she ended up becoming. So because of that, that's that. There are three chiddushim in this explanation. Number one, Targum Yonasan says she looked behind the Malach. She looked behind the Malach to see what was going on. Number two, she was looking to see what happened to her family. That's why she looked back. And number three, she turned into salt because she sinned with salt. We're going to concentrate on all three parts and explain all three of the Yonasan Menuziel and give arguments in each one. Targum Yerushalmi says that she will remain this way until the times of Tchiyat HaMesim. She is going to remain that way until the times of Tchiyat HaMesim. Possibly, that means that Iris will come back at Tchiyat HaMesim, and she will be another human being. She'll come back from the dead, from the pillar of salt, and become a human being by the times of Tchiyat HaMesim. But he says, and based on the Mi'am Lo'ez, this salt pile never lessens or becomes more. Throughout the winter and the summer, it remains as is by the city of Sodom. We'll talk about whether it's here or not. That's something for later on. Now, Rashi, the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra all argue on Targum Yonasan Menuziel and say she did not look behind the Malach, rather she looked behind Lot, who was running behind her. Lot was running behind Iris, and Iris looked behind him to see what was going on in the city. So that's all. The Rashi, the Ramban, and the Ibn Ezra. The Gorai says she couldn't have looked behind the Malach. If she would have looked behind the Malach, she would have looked behind the city, because the Malach was in the midst of destroying the city. That would mean she's looking beyond the Malach who was destroying the city. That doesn't make any sense, says the Gur Aryeh. And I think it's Pashit that she looked behind Lot. Why? And that Lot was behind her. How do we know she turned into a pillar of salt if Lot never turned around and saw her? So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell us anything whatsoever. Obviously, that's true, right? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told Moshe Rabbeinu that's true. I always thought to myself, how would Lot know that his wife was dead? How would he ever know? He never turned around. He never looked. So how would he know that she turned into a pillar of salt? The shot, I think, is that Lot was behind her. She looks behind Lot to see what was going on in the city, and in front of Lot, turned into a pillar of salt. And he couldn't turn back. So it was the last thing that he saw of his wife, her turning into a big pile of salt, and then running ahead, knowing that if that happened to her, he definitely can't look back. That's what I think is going to happen over there. Panim Yafo says that Lot stood behind everybody because he knew that he wouldn't be killed. He was promised by the Malach that he would survive, but his wife and kids were not promised. So he stood behind to make sure they went in front of him, that he would be able to go behind them. He would be able to go behind to make sure that nothing was going to happen at that time. Mizrahi says in all of this that it doesn't make any sense. It should be le'achorav, that she looked behind him, le'achorav, not me'achorav. That wording is wrong. It says instead she turned around to a different direction, and she saw through some type of a mirror. She was able to see what was going on in the city, but she did not turn basically behind. That's not there. The Marshal has upshot on this as well. The Torah says in the name of his father, the Rosh, that it's very confusing when this all happened. If I would ask you when it happened, you'll probably say, on their way out of Sodom, right? When they ran out of Sodom. The problem with the Pesukim is, it's clear in the Pasuk. This is clear as day. They came to the city of Tzoar. And Lot said to the Malach, let me remain here. Don't destroy the city. It's such a small city. Let me remain here. And the Malach said, okay, fine. You can stay in Tzoar. And then she looked behind her and she turned into a pillar of salt. Meaning after they already stopped, she turned into a pillar of salt. According to that shot, says the Rosh, then all the people of Tzoar should have turned into salt. Why didn't they turn into salt? They would have looked to see what what was going on in Sodom? Why wouldn't that have happened to them as well? So he answers that she looked back to see if her kids were coming before she reached the city of Tsoar. She was on the way to Tsoar with all of Lot and everybody else. And she looked behind to see if her other kids were following behind her. When she did that, she was a little bit behind. That made her go a little bit slower. And she went slower and slower to when Lot got to Tsoar and davened that Tsoar should be saved. Tsoar was saved, but she was a little bit behind. And therefore she was killed. So it actually happened. She turned to the pillar of salt, not immediately when she turned around, says the Torah. Not when she turned around, she turned to a pillar of salt. She turned around, she kept turning around to see if her kids were coming behind her. She fell behind, and when Lot got to Tsoar, that's when she turned into a pillar of salt. That's when that happened. Says the Torah, that makes the most sense. What were you going to say?
Nothing.
So that's that. So that's the idea behind it. She turned it right over there. I'm sorry?
We know where Sodom is, where Tsoar is.
Just recently, it's funny, they claim that they just found different pottery things and everything like that, where they say this must have been one of the cities down there. Now, I'll tell you right now, I would highly doubt that if Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt, that there's anything left from any vestige of the city in that area, anywhere around there. I would assume it all turned to sulfur and salt, which means there's nothing left, or it's under the Dead Sea. That's always been my assumption. But they claim that they found something there. Maybe the city they found was Tsoar, because Tsoar is the only city that would have survived based on Lot's tefillah. So possibly that's what they found over there. So no, we don't know where Sodom is. We know it's somewhere around the Salt Sea area. But the Salt Sea is huge, and they've never done excavations underneath the sea. So we have absolutely no idea.
Now my question is, how does Lot be Zohar to save the city and Abraham Avinu?
That's a great question. I have 16 answers to that question. I gave it in a shir years earlier. Right. Lee Nether, I'll try to get you that shir. But I do have it.
I think it's awesome.
It's a great question. All right, the Kliyukr says, she didn't literally look behind the Malach or Lot to look at the city. She's not that big of a fool that when the Malach tells her, don't look behind, she's going to be like, well, let's see what happens. Nobody would, if you know the Malach is destroying Sodom and the Malach tells you not to look behind, there is nothing that's going to get you to look behind. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Nobody would do such a thing. But she was, I'm sorry?
Curiosity
did kill the cat, but it didn't kill Iris. So this case, we're going to say, her thoughts dwelled upon what was going to be with her after her husband died. I mean, she's looking at herself and she's saying to herself, what's going to be with me? Lot just lost all of his money. All of his money is gone. Everything was Sodom, was in Sodom, and he lost everything. What's going to be with me at that point? She looked back, not literally looked back behind Lot. She looked back at what was going to be with her life, and she said to herself, oh no, I'm in a lot of trouble. I have absolutely nothing. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's what the Kliyukr says. She's thinking about her money. So for that person, that woman is not Zocha for anything good to happen for her. And that's the pshat behind it. Look at this. The kitzruk on her was the following, says the Kliyukr. Not only did she not give away any of her money to tzedakah, she didn't even give salt to people who needed salt. Now she's thinking about money. This person is not roi for us to give tzedakah to her. She should be destroyed without ever looking back. That's the concept of what should happen, says the Kliyukr right over there. The Netzutishim says the same thing. Crazy thing. She looked into the future and saw that Lot was going to have children that were going to become Mashiach. Lot's two daughters, as we know, were the progenitors of Moab and Ammon. Moab gave birth to Rusta Moabiah. Ammon gave birth to Naamah Ammonis, the wife of Shlomo Melech. Their children ended up being Mashiach. So she saw that Lot was going to be so special. But I don't know why she died then. That's the problem with this pshat. The Netzutah Shimshon doesn't answer that. Maybe you'd have to go back to the Kliyukr. But that's that. She looked into the future and saw what was going on. Pirkei Rabbi, yeah, what's up, Jay? How was she Zocha? See, it's funny. I know we think of these people as being like, well, they're so evil. I can't believe they were just destroyed in the destruction of Sodom. Iris is Zocha to be mentioned in the Torah. I'm saying this is partly tongue-in-cheek. Iris was Zocha to become a pillar of salt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not Zocha to be a pillar of salt. I'm not going to be mentioned in the Torah. As silly as she was and as bad as she was in comparison to what she should have been, at least she's mentioned in the Torah. She did something wrong. Okay, in Akanami, she did. But such a person who seems to have lived in Avram Binu's household as being married to Lot, seemingly, she would be a tremendously great person as well. Who knows? Maybe she was one of the Nefashos Asher Asu B'Charan that went off a little bit. That no longer had it. I'm sorry? Even Paro.
We gotta, you gotta understand, even Bilam. Anybody that's mentioned is great. The problem is, what is their greatness? Abimelech got a nevuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Paro got hit by a malach. That's awesome. I would want to get hit by a malach. I'm saying, like, these people have tremendous brachas, and they're around just to see the face of Avraham Avinu is a bracha. Just to see the face of such a great man is a bracha. We have to think of it that way instead of the other way around. Now, granted, they're probably rotting in Gehenna for their entire lives afterward because their potential was so much greater and they didn't live up to it. But nonetheless, these people, we have to think of them in a different light than how we've done before. Ash, what are you going to say? Same thing. Okay, so let's go on. The Torah quotes the Ramban and says, she thought about the punishment of Sodom and it somehow stuck to her. That's the idea of the airspace of Sodom somehow affecting her. It's a weird shot and it doesn't make any sense, but it's somehow, she was like, it's like she had rabies and she couldn't get rid of it. That's almost what ended up happening from her. That's the idea behind it. Now, the Parsha says, an unbelievable shot. When she turned around, salt was thrown in her face. Salt was thrown in her face. Like sulfur went into her face and she was blinded. Now Lot couldn't turn back and she couldn't find her way out. So she was blinded by the sulfur that went into her eyes, and then she started wandering around, and eventually she was covered by a whole thing of sulfur and turned into a pillar of salt. That's how the Parsha Yosef says it. That's a grape shot. Not that she turned into a pillar of salt miraculously, so to speak, but rather naturally. She looked back, saw the sulfur, it went into her eyes, she's blinded, and then naturally she got filled with sulfur. She was completely filled with sulfur. That's the shot, says the Parsha Yosef. She was there. I'm sorry?
Did she die?
Horribly.
I mean,
unfortunately.
Did she die?
Yes, definitely. She definitely died. She's
but
dead. No. She's not. No. This is not like Yonah and the whale. You know what I'm saying? She's dead. She's way dead.
Right now.
No, yeah, that's for sure. Then it seems, explains that in times of... Yeah, what's up, Ellie?
You mentioned that before. That from one of the, I don't remember who it was on another sheep. You said that one of the things that she looked at and she was trying to find her kids.
Yeah. The problem is that they were, when the Malach said don't turn back, that's exactly what he was telling her not to do. He said, Al Tabit Me'acharecha, don't look for your kids. They're not coming. That's what she was told. So not believing in the Malach was part of the problem. We'll get to an idea behind that, but that's the idea. It's commendable that you're looking for your children, but when you know they're not going to survive and the Malach tells you that, you got to listen to the Malach. Yeah.
What?
Malach said, Al Tamei Acharecha, according to Rishonim, that's what she said. That she not to look at the kids. The first part, we have it, the exact Rishonim is the Ramban. It is the Sforno and the Chizkuni. That's what it refers to. Yeah.
I don't 100% believe, you know, the Malachim, what she did, she was going to do. Like, she didn't 100% believe that.
Different issue, and not exactly correct. I don't want to go into that right now, but she definitely believed what the Malach said. The question was who else was around that she had to deny it in front of. It's a good call, but no, not exactly the same. Not exactly the same. It goes in very, very good. That's from the Megid Yosef. That's the idea behind it. The Netziv says that in times of destruction, the Satan and his cronies, meaning the Shaitan, are sitting there waiting for somebody to mess up. The Tzaddik to mess up. You can't kill a Tzaddik until the Tzaddik deserves to die. So maybe the Tzaddik has a thought. Maybe the Tzaddik does one thing wrong, waiting for something to happen. They were Mazikin following Lot the entire way out of the city. Mazikin waiting there with swords outstretched, waiting to kill Lot as soon as Lot turned around. But Lot didn't turn around. Because Lot didn't turn around, they had nothing to do. But when Lot's wife turned around, she was killed. So according to this pshat, the Mazikin killed Lot's wife, killed Iris.
So
that's the pshat.
So Lot was a tzaddik
in that he went through. Now, there's an al-shik over here. If anybody wants to try to explain that to me, I don't know what he's saying. The al-shik was, Ramosha al-shik is a Kobol, lived in the turn. He lived by the times of the Mekubalim. He was close with the times of the Arizal. He was living around that time. He's actually one of the people that got real smicha, according to the Rambam's version of smicha. One of the people that got real smicha. He says that it's the same thing as when God appeared to Avram, appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, and she saw his back but couldn't see the front when he was running away, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over the cleft of the rock. That's what happened to Ashes Lot. I don't know what he's talking about. That's why I said I don't know. Absolutely no idea. That's a big skus. I know. I have absolutely no idea. I have absolutely no idea what it is, but that's that.
Wait, I have a question. Hashem didn't destroy Sodom, right? Malachim did.
Correct. We said before we had an idea that the Shechina came down with the Malachim to destroy Sodom. And the Malachim, yes, there was a Malach that destroyed Sodom, but the Shechina was involved. That's what it seems to say.
Because in the Haggadah, he makes a very strong point of talking that nothing...
Because was destroyed in Mitzrayim.
No, I'm saying, but it makes a very strong point to bring that out, that Hashem did it, nothing else.
In Mitzrayim.
In Mitzrayim. Here we don't...
Here we have the Malach.
Right.
Because the Malach's specific job was to destroy Sodom. So I hear you. I definitely hear you.
What?
Nonetheless, it seems the Shechina was also there. A point of that shot. It's a good question. It's a good question. That's another issue that goes in. Yeah.
You were talking about that before. With
yeah.
Talking about today also.
I would assume so. If the Mekubalim are still doing it, I don't know. I'm still not seeing much from you right now, but. Yeah. I'm not seeing much from you right now, but you know, the hat's in the way. Yeah, but the other thing's the countenance.
When you say face,
it only refers to the forehead. Yeah, the padachas. I don't know why. Again, I don't know why. I don't have any idea why. The Ksav Sofer says they needed a merit, a schus, to be able to be saved. Granted, Avraham Avinu's schus was to be able to save them. That's 100% true. But they needed something extra in order to be saved. That was not enough. They needed something added onto it for that Savior, for that Yeshua to be able to happen. You know what the Yeshua was? The Malach said, you have one test. Believe me when I tell you, you can't look back. If you trust in my words and you listen to me, you'll be saved. And if you don't, you'll be destroyed. It's not that looking back will turn you into sulfur. It's not that looking back is going to hurt you, like the Ramban said. It's that if you look back, you're not trusting in me. If you're not trusting in me, that means you don't deserve to be saved and you'll be destroyed. That's the pshat. You don't have a schus. That's all it is. It's not like that. Now let's get into the salt. We got into the salt. Rashi says she sinned with salt when Lot asked her to grab salt for the guests, and she said to him, how could you do such abominable things, bringing in guests into our household? I'm not giving our guests any salt. That's how Rashi says it, that she refused to give these guests salt. That was the issue. The Medrash Rabbah Nun Aleph says she did want to give them salt. She said, not a problem, husband. I'll go. So Iris went to her neighbors and said, my husband brought in guests, and he wants salt. Can I borrow some salt from you? And everybody found out that the guests were there from Iris. We all know what happened. They all gathered up on the house because of what Iris did. So she did it. She went to get salt. And because of that, she caused everyone to come to try to destroy the Malachim. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says, one time, someone wanted to borrow salt from her. It wasn't even poor people. It wasn't guests. Someone came to borrow salt from her, and she refused to give it. That Medrash doesn't appear anywhere else. But the Rabbeinu Bachaya brings it down that way. The Bir Basada says, Lot knew how bad of a wife his wife was. He knew that this woman never gives away salt and that it was never going to happen. Therefore, he said to her, maybe you should help out the guests because our city's about to be destroyed and we're going to need a merit to be saved. So maybe you should do one thing and just give them salt. She's like, never! I'm never going to give them salt. And that's what happened over there, according to the Bar Basada. The Yalku Ruveni says the craziest shot I think I've ever seen in the world. This is the greatest shot. People would come to their house, and Lot would have guests over, and they would ask for food, right? So Lot's wife would give them food, but it was totally unsalted, unspiced. It was like plain food that tasted disgusting. Okay? And they came and they sat down and said, can we have a little bit of salt? And she said to them, absolutely not. I don't want you to come back. So I'm giving you food so you survive, but I don't want you to like it. I don't want you to like it. I don't want you to come back ever. So they cursed her. And you know what they said? They said, you should turn into a pile of salt. Now the wife of Lot thought they were blessing her. I should have so much salt that I should have more than enough salt to give to guests. So she said, amen to the bracha. She said, amen to it. And that's why she became a pillar of salt. That's the greatest Yalku Ruveni I think I've ever read in my life. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. That ended up happening that way. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says that Melech and Lechem and Chemla, as in Chomal, was all there. That because she didn't give the salt and she gave the bread to guests, therefore she became Melech. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, that's what they're all compared to and everything like that. The Ibn Ezra, though, and most of the Rishonim seem to say that she turned into salt not because of something that she did, but rather as a result of looking at the sulfur. Remember we said before that the sulfur went into her
eyes, it blinded her, or it caused her, whatever it was. The salt was just a result of the sulfur. It wasn't because of something that she specifically did. Not anything like that. That's the idea behind it. There's a Male Omer and the Maril Diskin over here, but we're not going to go into that. All right. Gemara Brachos Nundalan Amabe says, if someone sees the pillar of salt that is Lot's wife, if you see it, you have to make a bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmes. With Shem B'Malchus, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Dayan HaEmes. Says the Gemara, but at the same place, Lot was saved. So why don't we make a bracha on the fact that Lot was saved? And the Gemara says, you're right. You should make two brachas. You make a bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hatov V'Ameitiv, that Lot was saved. And Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Dayan HaEmes, because of Lot's wife. You save both of them for saving Lot and destroying Eshes Lot. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, every day, even nowadays, this salt pillar is licked by deer and goats in the desert. Every single day, they lick it every single day until it goes down to the ground, it falls down to the ground. And then every morning, it re-sprouts out of the ground, and it feeds the deer and the goats the next day as well. Every day, it re-sprouts and becomes a brand new pillar of salt for the animals to eat from. Awesome, right? The Pardes Yosef explains the idea. He says the wife of Lot was willing to give them food, was willing to cook for them, but not willing to give them spices because she didn't want them to come again, right? So when Lot would ask her for that, she said, listen, I'm helping you all around, but I'm not going to let them come back again. Why do I want guests to come back again and again and again? So her punishment was Midi Keneged Mida. She became the salt that she wouldn't give, and the animals come back again and again and again to eat from her. That's the idea of the Mida Keneged Mida that happened to the wife of Lot, that she was destroyed. Now this goes against what we said before, that the wife of Lot will never be gone, that it will remain as a pillar of salt the entire time. This shot from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says definitely not like that. Yaakov Ruvaini says, listen, there are four different parts of this world. There is domain. Domain refers to something which is like a rock. It doesn't have anything. It doesn't grow. It doesn't have anything like that. There's someach, something that grows. There's chai, as in an animal. And then there's medaber, as in a human being. You go up from one to the other. Domain, someach, chai, medaber. Those are the four parts. Says the Yalkut Ruvaini, this medaber, Eshes Lot, Iris, the wife of Lot, became a domain, a pillar of salt, as if she's part of the ground. So then it says, it's someach, it grows from the ground every morning, that it's like it's someach, and it's connected to the chai by being eaten by the animals. What that means is that Eshes Lot has constant gilgulim into every single part of the earth, into rocks, into plants, into animals, and into human beings. That the wife of Lot has constant gilgulim that goes through from one to the other, that's the idea behind it. Either way, it sounds like this thing exists even today. It sounds like that the wife of Lot, if we would go to the city of Sodom, we would see a massive pillar of salt, and that would represent the wife of Lot, and that would be there. There would be something there. Now,
massive. Is there a reference to
being
massive?
Not massive, but let's say like a, you know, a 5 foot tall mound. 5 foot tall mound. You'd assume it's her mound.
So we get that from the, that it would even be her height.
Nitziv has to be something that is seen. Nitziv is like a pillar, so it's got to be something which is choshev. It can't just be like a little mound on the ground. It wouldn't be that way. Yeah, it's got to be something a little bit more. As a side note, by the way, has anybody been to Santa's Village here in Chicago on the outside? Do you remember Santa's Village?
Yeah.
Everybody remember? Okay. Do you remember when you used to walk in, they have this like ice thing that's like this big white pillar that's really freezing cold, and even in the heat of the summer, you put your hands on it, it's freezing cold. It's made with ice from the inside. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I believe so.
Okay, if you don't, then I don't want you to have to go. It is an awesome place for little kids. I'll just tell you, when I was a little kid, and I learned this medrash with my Rebbe and my Moras when I was in second grade, third grade, and I went to Santa's Village, I always thought that was the pillar of salt that was Lot's wife. I never thought, and then everybody was touching it, and people were like putting their hands on it and like touching the ice and everything. I'm like, it's the pillar of salt! And I always thought it.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa?
I thought that also, but I got over that years later. last year, I realized that it's not really, but nonetheless, it's there. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Yud Ches says that you should make this bracha. Says you should make the bracha. But the Rambam doesn't mention mention it in any of his halachos. The Rambam does not mention that you make the bracha on salt no matter what. Does not say that if you see that pillar of salt, you should make a bracha. So the question is, why does the Rambam not mention it? So the Radal is Rav David Luria. He ended up writing a sefer on the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It's a tremendous sefer on Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. He writes that the reason we don't find it today is because there was an earthquake by the Yam HaMelech. There was an earthquake there, and that earthquake caused the Yam HaMelech to overrun its banks. The sea overran its banks, and the area where the pillar of salt was is now gone. It was overrun by the salt sea, and now it's gone. It's completely gone. Again, against the idea that we mentioned by the Yerushalmi, up above the Targum Yerushalmi, that the pillar of salt will remain until Tchiyas HaMeisim, according to Radal, it's gone, and it's no longer there. That's why the Rambam doesn't mention it, because the Rambam only mentions halachos that we can keep that has an ability to be kept either now or in Yemos HaMashiach. There's no such bracha to make because we're not going to see it anymore. It's gone. What's up, Sish? They do claim that there's something, and I did look it up online. I saw the picture of it, right, where it does look almost like a human thing, but it's not entirely made of salt. That's the problem. It's made of rock with salt deposits on it. That's the only problem that I have with it, but it does look like a human being, and I'm sure it's a good tourist attraction. What's up, Natan? He does bring down both brachas, and you make the bracha specifically by that area. That the Nitziv says that's the reason why you make the bracha by the wife of Lot. Why do you make the bracha on Lot by the wife of Lot? You should make the bracha on Lot when you see the salt sea. When you see Yam HaMelech, you say Baruch Hashem that you saved Lot. Why is it that you make it only when you get to the pillar of salt, which is Lot's wife? Because Lot was never in danger of dying in Sodom. The only time he was in danger is when Lot's wife turned around and you saw something happen, and Lot could have had that happen to him when there's a maisa there. That's when he was enough. That was a giloy that you should make the bracha at that point. That's what we end up doing. Now the Torah Shlaima brings a medrash. This is actually the Maranida, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, where the Alexandrians, the Jews of Alexandria, asked Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania was well known that he always answered the questions of all the people who were a little bit off. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania has many, many discussions with the Caesar Trajan and the Caesar Hadrian. He's known as goes up to the Caesar. Now, he goes up to both of them. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania also fights with many minim and different people. It's tremendous what Rabbi Yoshua used to do. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. This is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He died around the year 112 of the Common Era, and saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, one of the leaders of the Jews. Rabbi Yoshua was asked by the Alexandrians, the Jews in Alexandria. He said the following. They said, is the pillar of salt Tameh? Are you Tameh if you touch it? Why would it be Tameh?
It's
human body. So is it Tumas Mace? Is there Tumas Mace there? And he paskins, there's no Tuma, because it's an Etziv Melach, and it's salt, it's not a human being, and therefore it's not Metame. The problem with that is the following. Is a mummy Tame? Does a mummy make a person Tame? This is not the place to be able to discuss this halacha, but you should know in Hilchos Machlos Asuros and Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, the Rambam has a whole piece on how it's technically usur only as an assay to eat a human being. That eating a human being is only usur through an assay of Zos Tochelu. And that's it. There's no bracha you would make on it because it's usur. The Ramban says it's not usur at all. But the Rambam says there's only an isra assay in eating a human being. And the Mishnah LaMelech wrote essays on the Rambam. Different essays on the Rambam. Tremendous essays. The Mishnah LaMelech has a whole piece, and he says, what's the deal with mummies? Number one, are you allowed to eat them? Are they really considered human beings? Or is the process that they do, is the mummification process, does that turn them into a little bit of dust to the point where you no longer, you're not eating anything. It's dust. It's not a human being anymore. It doesn't have the status of a human being. So he asks that, and then he says, are you allowed to buy and sell mummies? You can't get hana from a dead body. So you can't buy and sell mummies if it's really a dead body. But if it's not a dead body, if it's just dust, then you could buy them and sell them. You have no problem. It's a real nafkamina halacha. Can the Israel Museum buy mummies to display? Can a Jew buy a mummy to display in their museum? Can any Jew be involved in getting them up? I'm sorry?
Medical cadavers.
That's an issue as well. Getting involved with medical cadavers and buying certain parts of bodies, etc. Can you get involved? It's usur banah. This is even more potent because we're dealing with something which is technically not a body itself. According to what Rabbi Yoshua answered, a Nitziv Melach is not a body. So that means that a mummy should also not be a body. Or maybe there's another Nafkamina. Maybe you could say it the other way. No, the Netzid Melech, it's only salt. There's no body there. But this whole idea of what the mummy is, it's a body. It's just surrounded by bandages and really turned into dust. I don't know what it would be. So it's a big Shiloh. And there's not the place for it. It's just a Shiloh to be able to look up. If you want to look it up, it's in the Mishnah Melech, in the beginning of Hilchos Machlos, the Suros, in the Rambam. It's a tremendous Mishnah Melech. It's about 12 pages long, well worth a read, right? But it goes all the way through this entire idea. Rav Chaim in Tamid Akra says, of course, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, of course. So who else would ask this question, right? Who else would go into this? He says that a pillar of salt is putter in miser. You know why? Because it's like a mushroom. You don't have to take off miser off a pillar of salt. No reason to take off miser from it. It doesn't grow from the ground. It grows like a mushroom. It grows from the air. Salt grows in a different way, so therefore it's different. He says, now you understand why Esav had a real Shiloh when he asked his father Yaakov, do I take miser off of salt and tevin and grain? Now the grain thing, the straw thing, that's a different issue. But why did he have that kasha? He wanted to know if the Netziv Melach that was Eshes Lot is that chayiv in miser. Because it technically regrows all the time from the ground. So it's like salt that grows from the ground. It's like a tzomeach, it's like a plant. So is that type of salt chayiv in miser? And that was the Shiloh of Esav. Not a bad question, right? Gotta be an Esav to ask a question like that. Anyway, the salt is very damaging. Obviously, it blinded her when she went through. This is one of the reasons why we wash Mayim Achronim before we bench. And it's just the known halacha. If Shulchan Aruch brings it down in Reish, I forgot where it is. I think it's around Reish Yitzchak, somewhere around there. And the pshat is that you're afraid, whenever you have salt on you, that it's possibly also melach sedomis at the same time. So you've got to be careful. Whenever you have salt on your hands, you should always wash your hands off before you bench in a meal, and definitely, certainly not use it to put inside your eyes. Chas v'shalom, it could blind the person if a person does that. That's what a person has to watch out for. So again, we went through the first pshat of al tabit me'acharecha, to not turn around. We went through what her name was, Iris, or Edith, or Isis, or possibly Melach, what the name of Eshes Lot was. We went through the Targum Yonasan and we explained three different points. What did she look behind? Who did she look behind? Was it the Malach? Was it Lot? Was it her herself? Did she not really look at all? We then went into the idea of how she sinned with salt and what the issues were with that salt. The final thing is what we should do nowadays with making the bracha on that Netziv Melach, if we can see it and what it means. We'll stop with that, guys. With that, Marav now. Have a good Shabbos.